Hi, I'm Quentin D'Souza, and you're listening to Getting Started with Education REI. Create wealth, freedom, and security through real estate investing. Make sure to check out educationrei.ca. In this episode, this member is new to investing and wants to use it as a vehicle to set up her family's financial future and her retirement. We explore some options she can take during her growth phase of investing. Have a listen. Usually what I try to do is get to know you and see where you're at real estate investing wise. And then I can try to direct you to where to go to on the website to start working on the different pieces that you need, as well as like suggest contacts or, just other pieces to kind of help you get going. So maybe you can tell me a little bit about your background in real estate investing up to this point, and then I can help you with some next steps.
Yeah, so I got a job out in Durham. I'm originally from here, and we'd been living in Toronto. We had a single detached house, and we were going to sell it. And then we thought, wait, because we bought out here, what if we didn't sell it, if we rented it? And the bank said yes. And then I started reading about real estate investing, going, oh, single family detached home, and like the cash flow is probably not ideal compared to what I can get out here for a lot less mortgage and pull in the same. So we kind of like let go of all my kids were born in that house too. So it's like, okay, we just like let go of like, we know where that's coming from. And so we did just buy actually in June, a duplex in Bowmanville. Okay. And rented the top floor to my brother-in-law, and we're finishing up a reno in the lower, and just got our lower floor tenants. We listed it a couple of weeks ago and just did all our background checks on them and signed a lease with them.
What's the upper renting for?
The upper, it's a family arrangement. So it's $1,500, but most of that is cash.
Oh, okay.
And then the basement, we got $1,775 plus utilities.
Yeah, that sounds more reasonable. Okay. All right. So yeah, that number at the bottom, for upper, is it a 3-bedroom upper?
No, they're both 2.
2-bedroom. And is it like a single family detached or a semi?
It's a semi.
It's a semi. Okay. Yeah, you're probably looking at about, I would say, $1,900 for a top floor 2-bedroom, something like that. Mm-hmm. Plus utilities as well. So as long as you're aware of that, I'm okay with like working with family, as long as you have like a proper lease in place. That's what's important, because yeah. And also be aware that like there always is going to be that little bit of, who is it, by the way?
So it's my brother-in-law and his wife and their baby.
Okay. Yeah, just remember there's sometimes it can be a little tension, especially like with family. So just keep that in mind.
Yeah, right now we're in the place of just saying yes to everything, where we're like, we would never be doing this stuff for like another tenant. But it's like, oh, can you like re-enamel the tub and like fill in the doggy doors? I was like, well, you guys saw the unit as it was. But like, yeah, so I was like, sure. Like we're in a better, like for the sake of the family relationship, we're just like, yeah, basically saying yes to everything.
But it never ends. So just keep it in mind, okay? And have a lease in place and make sure that you're following through on it, because it can, like, you just be careful. That's my only warning.
Yeah. They are short term, but yeah, we do have a lease with them. We did make it formal, and we made them like show us their insurance and all that stuff.
Okay. And short term meaning that they're only going to be there for 6 months?
No, they're maybe they're going to start looking for a house probably next spring or summer themselves out in Durham. So
okay. And just so you know, regular tenants would do the same thing, right? And you would get, you know, $1,800, $1,900, whatever it is. So but I mean, I know you're doing them a favor, and you know, hopefully that'll come back to you, like, you know, from your family. And that's always good to help family. That's why we do this, right? So that's good. What's your plan once you, so once you've got this property stabilized, what's your next step?
Yeah, it's a good question. I mean, we do, we both have, my husband's a teacher, actually. You know, we do both do well financially. We're both over 100K and like good pension, but
yeah,
we just, I just like realized we could get this property without essentially putting any of our money in, because the down payment was our line of credit and like home equity. So just for our kids, we have three kids and we just want to do something like we didn't get help ourselves, but to help them like with a down payment. And then it would be nice if we had another one to help ourselves. Like we both have pensions, but can always have a nicer retirement rate.
Or quicker.
We're sort of like, let's see how this goes. But I guess, you know, if I don't think we'd want more than probably, you know, two or three. Neither of us, I know you can do property management, but there's still your own, it doesn't matter. You're putting your own time into it. So.
Oh yeah, sure. I heard that before. And then you end up with 10 properties and you wonder what happened. But I totally get it. I understand. I have like my background, I've got a master's in ed and I have my principal qualification, right? But I never went down that path. I left in 2014 and it's been great for me anyways. Now, when you're thinking about what you want to do here, do you have access to equity that you want to repurpose into another property like you've done in Bowmanville?
Not yet, I would say. So we rented the basement.
What did you buy the property for?
We paid pretty high, $690.
Okay. And then how much was your rental?
Our rental was $15K.
Oh, that's not bad. Is it a legal basement or illegal basement?
It's illegal, but we're doing the renos to hopefully make it legal. Like we're doing the intro fire alarm and we want to do the fire doors and.
Okay. So you're working on getting all of that done. Okay. That's fine. So then you have into it about seven, let's say like plus closing costs, like $715K, something like that.
Yeah.
And what do you think the value of the property is right now?
I feel like things have cooled a little bit. Like after we bought, I would say the other things that sold on that street, they're all identical homes, went for the same. But I don't know. I feel like things have cooled a bit in the summer. The last one that went was definitely like, I think it was like 50K less for like pretty similar.
But you know, the difference is that if you make it a legal duplex, that there should be value that's added to it because it's a legal duplex. You can, you'll be able to include both rents into your, when you're applying for a mortgage, some banks won't allow you to include both rents if it's one unit isn't legal. So that's a benefit to you because that'll allow you to boost up your loan to value when you're in the growth phase. So if you take a look at some of the material in the vault area, you'll see where I talk about the phases of real estate investing. And when you're starting out, you're basically in this growth phase. And in the growth phase, you have low cash flow and high leverage. And as that changes, like as it, you know, it kind of improves, you get higher cash flow and lower leverage over time. It just happens naturally. But what I would suggest you consider doing is that if and when your upper unit tenants turn over and you put like a regular tenants in there, go through the due diligence process, make sure you go through the property management course that's there. There is a 5-hour course on property management in the start area. It's called Property Management Key Policies and Procedures. It goes through all the everything you need to know, like the top 20% of what you need to know for managing properties in Ontario. Whether you hire a property manager or not, you should go through it because it will give you what you need to get going. So that once you've got that done, what I suggest you do is you refinance the property in year two. So if they do turn over and let's say in year two, they leave and you put in regular tenants in there, your mortgage or your rent will probably be $1,800, let's say, conservatively, for that. So that's a gross rent of like close to $3,900. What would your cash flow be on that new amount?
Yeah, I know. Yeah, it would be $450.
$450
per month. When I put in $1,800, we were $350, including like, you know, vacancy and property, like maintenance. I didn't put in property manager in that.
Yeah.
But yeah, without that.
Okay, so one of the things that what I would say is that it frees up, if you were to do that next year, it frees up enough equity so that you could, what's your current mortgage on that property, the mortgage amount?
Like we have a variable at 1.59.
Perfect. But what's the total mortgage
payment? Is it
20% down or less?
20%. Yeah. So I include the 20% in our costs. I know not everyone, I don't think that's typical, but because we put it on the line of credit, I do include that in like our financing. So yeah, the mortgage, I think it's $1,950. And then the other part is like around $450, I think, for our down payment.
For your line of credit. Okay. So what I'm going to suggest you do is that in year two, you go back, you refinance the property, you use the funds to pay back your line of credit because it's a secure line of credit anyways. You'll probably be able to access, how much did you take? About 80K or probably higher actually?
Yeah, we took 150. It's on our home. It's a secure line of credit. It's on our home, our primary, but yeah, we took 150.
Okay. So what I'm going to, do you have on the duplex, do you have also like a secure line of credit on it as well? What product?
We do. Put?
Okay.
Yeah, it is. Yeah.
Okay. So what I'm going to suggest you do is that you access, like in year two, because it's a variable, which is perfect, you're able to do this. What you can do is you can get them to give you a new mortgage at the higher amount. Don't just take it as a line of credit. Okay, they're going to want you to take it as a line of credit. Don't take it as a line of credit. Take it as boosting up your principal balance up to what you can take. Use the funds to pay back your line of credit on your principal residence, and then that frees up the funds, but still put it as like a HELOC type product on the duplex, okay? So that as you pay down the principal, just like you've done now, right? Mm-hmm. Do the same thing on the new mortgage. You should be able to free up, I would say probably like 80 to 100K off of that, which should give you enough funds to also purchase another property, I would think. So that will be able to free up the room to do it and then give you that next property that you're looking for. There is a little bit of time that you have in between now and then. There are different things and strategies you can do with your funds while you're waiting for that to happen. But what I would suggest is that you're just starting out, make sure you read go through the course, your first three properties. Okay.
Okay.
I don't know if you've started that yet.
No, I finished the vacancy toolkit book, and I watched the meeting on the talking about like vetting tenants basically, which were both really helpful.
They're really good. You know what, if you don't want to go through the process yourself, but I encourage you to do it the first couple times, but at some point like you're going to get busy, and that's where you can like rely on other property management services in the area to help you out. And some of them will just do tenant placement, right?
Yeah, I tried to get them to do that for me just to like vet it, but they wouldn't. But they were so generous with their time. I mean, like a 20-minute phone call giving me advice. Like, it was really, they were lovely.
Yeah, they're really good people. So that's good. I'm glad that they did that. So then what I would suggest is to go into that 5-hour course on property management. Take your time, you know, go through it. You know, some people use it as like when they come up with a problem, then they watch the video. But like, it's up to you how you want to do it. But that will be a good way of doing it. The other thing is, in the vault section, there is a course on that has really done well for people. It's called, Getting Higher Appraisals, okay?
Okay. Just,
it's a mini course, but I just had somebody who had done gone through it, prepared an appraisal package, gave it to the appraiser. She was thinking she was going to get 425 as an appraisal. She got 480 as the appraisal. So it does make a difference. There's strategies in that getting higher appraisals. So when you get to, I suggest you look through it anyways, because you have the time to do it, and take a look at the sample package that's there. And then that way, you know how to set yourself apart from everybody else. Most people will never do this, right? But you don't want to be most people. You want to be a professional, and you want to set yourself above other people so that, you know, you make the appraiser's job easier, and it helps you to get a higher appraiser, which in the end will help you to purchase another property. And honestly, and there's a lot of times when we get paid in this business. We get paid in cash flow. Okay. We get paid when we sell a property, but we try not to do that very often. What's better than selling a property is the appraisal. Okay. Mm-hmm. So that's when we get paid. So really, you want to do a good job kind of getting yourself ready for that appraisal, doing the appraisal, and then that's when you get paid. And sometimes, like, you might think, okay, well, I'm going to get 100K. You might end up with 150K, pay back your entire line of credit, and you can do it again, right? And even if you did one of these a year, like, you could shorten your timeline for when you want to retire. You could have extra funds for vacations. I don't know if you get like summers off, but I know that like as an administrator, you know, he would have a little bit more flexibility during the summer. So there'd be like, you know, opportunities to take like longer vacations. Like there's just so much that ends up happening.
My husband. I just have 3 weeks.
Oh, okay.
I had 5 weeks and I quit. I got a job out here and I wonder now, but anyway, I did want to ask you, so sure. we're meeting with the bank on Wednesday. We were looking at refinancing to basically wrap the line of credit back into the mortgage on our like house, to get the better rate. And yeah, I mean, it seems like the paper trail is getting a little bit complicated, maybe. I don't know, we'll see, like, in terms of, like, being able to write that off still. But is there, like, a reason why it would be more beneficial to write it off with refinancing of the rental versus wrapping it into our primary?
Yeah, you're mixing the funds from one that's deductible to non-deductible, right? Another way to do it, and sorry, I keep pointing out videos, but there's a video on the Smith maneuver. Have you ever heard of that?
I can't
remember. You go into the vault. The very first quick result is called the Smith maneuver. What it does is it's a strategy that allows you to turn your non-deductible debt, which is the interest on your mortgage, to make it tax deductible.
Okay.
Right. Now, one of the things that you've done where you don't realize it is that you've actually started that process. So
yeah, we sort of did it in tech, like, because when we sold very well. We bought for under 5 in Toronto and we sold for 1.17 years later, mm-hmm. which is what enabled us to kind of start this. So we sort of did realize, like, oh, we can have the lower mortgage, like, and or like have higher and have cash in hand, or like line of credit. So that's why I'm like, I think I did heard of it, but then I'm here and I'm like, oh, I don't know what to do.
Just listen carefully. Okay. Okay. The 150K, the interest on it is tax deductible, right?
Yeah.
Okay. Now let me give you an idea here. Okay. What if you remember in next year, we said we're going to refinance the property and get 150, let's say between 100 and 150K. Instead of putting it on the line of credit, why would you not put it on the principal of your existing mortgage, right? Then once that becomes available on your line of credit, right? Then you use that line of credit to buy a second property, then that part of the line of credit becomes tax deductible as well. Because both of you are in the, you have to also think of it this way, and you need to talk to an accountant. I'm not an accountant, but one of the things that you need to remember that every dollar you get and earn, you're paying close to 50% in taxes. So when you have the line of credit, that's actually, let's say on that line, because the interest on it is quite low anyways, but let's say on $100,000, you're paying, let's say $5,000. That $5,000 is interest is actually being, you've already accounted for it in the rental property, but it's lowering your taxes by $5,000. So you're actually getting $2,500 more in tax money back, right? Mm-hmm. So it's something that you want to consider. You should like really talk to an accountant just to like make sure that, you know, all the pieces are in place, but that could be very lucrative for you as a tax deduction, right? Especially if you take from the refi, put it on your principal and then access it again, you're basically converting your non-deductible debt to deductible debt, right? And that instead of, like then the next year, if you did it, bought a property and then, you know, the same process, you're basically converting your principal residence into deductible debt. Now, what you can do is once you've done the whole process and it's all line of credit, then you go back and get a new mortgage. It's clean because all of it has been deducted and then the interest would be all tax deductible, right? The principal wouldn't, but the interest would. I know it's a lot of steps. Eh?
Yeah, I guess. Yeah, because that's why we're sort of like, I was thinking if we wrapped it back in and refinanced in the house, we could deduct it, but it gets too messy, I guess.
Well, how do you know which is deductible, which part is, unless you can compartmentalize it into two mortgages. And this, like, you don't want to mess with the CRA. Like, nobody wants to be audited. So, So that's something that you need to consider before you do the wrap. I know that the rate is lower and you have a variable rate mortgage anyways. So you may be able to just, you know, see if they can give you the lower rate. How long have you been in the mortgage for?
We just January for our house.
Yeah, I mean, it may not be worthwhile just because you're getting the tax deduction. It would offset any benefit that you get from a lower interest, right? Yeah. It's one of the things, and this is like, I like this stuff. This is my like creative stuff is like what I do, right? So when I think about this, I think that you may be actually worse off by combining it because you're not getting the tax deduction anymore, which would offset any interest rate savings that you have.
Yeah, I read numbers last night. I'm an economist, so I had some fun with that too. I'm like, yeah, it is better to leave it in the line of credit and get a break if I'm going to lose the break by wrapping it into a lower rate,
So something to think about as you go forward. I guess like just as we wrap up here, a couple of things. Like one is make sure that you join us on the Q&A calls because we do that twice a month. I'm going to be announcing those calls probably later this afternoon. So they're great for networking, to meet other people in the area who are investing. And if you can find somebody who's just a couple years ahead of you, and you know, you just become friends and, you know, go out for drinks or whatever it is, that really helps you gain the confidence to be able to do it. Because like when I started, I didn't know anybody, and that was really the hardest part, right? Once you start to find other people to do it and you don't feel so alone, it makes it a lot easier. The other thing is to make sure to take advantage of the video materials. There's a lot of resources that are on there. We've got discounts for different services. You know, like I've worked really hard to get those, and they don't cost you anything. So just take advantage of them that they're there. And if you want to do something specific, go through the roadmaps. So the roadmaps help you, like mindset is a big one. I know it, sometimes people think that it's like woo-woo stuff, but it's not. Like it makes a big difference, right? You know, depending on how you do things. There's stuff on renovations, accessory apartments, property management, landlord-tenant board, joint venture relationships, using corporations, multifamily properties, vacation rentals, student rentals. It's all in there, rent to own. So go through it, and it just helps you to go through a lot of the material that's on there. Well, it was nice meeting you. Do you have any other questions or anything that I can kind of address?
I was sort of looking for someone to help me do the, like to hire somebody basically to make sure I didn't miss anything on the path to legalization. I don't know if I had someone from Toronto. I feel like they didn't know Durham well enough.
Yeah, I'll send you a couple of planners that can help you. So they're drafts, local draftsmen who will be less, they're draftsmen, not planners, which will be less expensive than going with the planner, but they go through the process. So they'll look at your layout. It'll probably cost like between $1,000 and $2,000. And they basically make sure that, you know, this is the legalization of it. Some of them will apply for permits for you. Like it depends on your comfort level. Are you okay with applying for permits, or would you like somebody to help you? That's the other piece.
I'm okay to apply for them.
Yeah. Yes. So then one company will be a little bit easier to work with than the other, because they'll just do the plans and then you just go through the permit process, right? And they'll point out anything that, like, they'll come in, they'll measure, they'll take a look what you have, and then they'll point out the things that you need to do in order to legalize it. And that will be it.
Oh, amazing. Thank you so much for your time. I feel like everyone's been so generous with me. Like the more I learn, the more I learn that I need to learn. Like, but it's good.
Yeah, that's so, okay.
Thank you,
that's
really. I appreciate it very much.
Oh, you're welcome. All right, take care.
Thanks for listening to my conversation with our member. I hope you got some valuable information out of it. If you would like to create wealth, freedom, and security through real estate investing, make sure to check out educationrei.ca. Until next time, I'm Quinton D'Souza. Get out there and take action. The views and opinions expressed in this podcast are provided for information purposes only and should not be construed as an offer to buy or sell any securities or to make or consider any investment or course of action. For more information, go to educationrei.ca.